You are listening to a sermon by Connie Seidler, recorded on Sunday, June 16, 2013, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
So today, I would like to start with a story I heard the other day. It is about a wedding ceremony. So a young couple, they were very much in love, were getting married. And Marilyn, the wife-to-be, she was very nervous about the big occasion. And so the pastor chose a scripture verse that he felt would be a great encouragement to her. The verse was 1 John 4:18, which says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." And he chose the best man and asked the best man to read it during the ceremony. But very unfortunately, the best man was not very familiar with the Bible, and he did not know that there was a difference between the Gospel of John and 1 John. So when the time came for him to read the verse, he actually ended up reading John 4:18, and the pastor had just said this. He felt this verse was very apt for Marilyn, and then the best man read John 4:18, which says, "You have had 5 husbands, and the one that you have is not a husband." So wedding mishaps are actually more common than we probably would like them to be. And I believe that if I ask, like, you guys to raise your hand if you have heard about a wedding mishap, that probably most people would raise their hand. And the Bible story we just heard also included a big wedding mishap. The wine went out. And just like we are still telling funny wedding mishaps now to our friends, just like the one I've just told, the story could have followed the happy couple for the rest of their lives back then. Like in those closely knit communities on Jesus' day, running out of wine would never be forgotten and would haunt the newly married couple for probably the rest of their lives. However, this couple was blessed. It was blessed because Jesus himself was at their wedding, and his presence made all the difference on that day. He performed his first miracle. That is the wedding story we'd all be more than happy to tell for the rest of our lives. Interestingly enough, though, this miracle is mentioned only in the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't mention it, but instead, they seem to be more impressed or interested in healings and exorcisms and the like. But John, he not only thought that it deserved to be mentioned, no, he even thought that it was so important that he put it as the first one of his signs. I personally think that was brilliant. And once I get to meet John, hopefully not for a while, this is something I would want to ask him about, what his thoughts were. But they'll probably be quite aligned, so but we've got all eternity. Why do I think that was so brilliant? Well, I think it was so brilliant because it shows what so many of John's stories are about. It shows Jesus as an agent of transformation. Turning water into wine stands as a symbol for transformation, something I believe John was very concerned about. He was very concerned about it because if we look closely, we can see that transformation is written all over the Gospel of John. People are changed by their encounter with Jesus, much like water turns into wine. For example, in chapter 4, when Jesus heals the official's son, his whole household ends up believing. In chapter 5, the man at the pool had no help, and got healed by Jesus. In chapter 11, Lazarus, who died, was raised to life again by Jesus. So how then did Jesus bring transformation in our story today? In what ways were the lives of those at the wedding touched and transformed? I believe that many things could be said about this story of transformation. And I could probably preach a whole series on this topic, but for today, the two things that I would like to talk about, the two things that were in my heart for us today, are the following. First, that Jesus brings transformation in the story by turning water into wine, because Jesus turned something into something that it was not. And second, by turning water into wine, Jesus turns something good into something better. First, by turning water into wine, Jesus turns something into something that it was not. And in this way, Jesus revealed his power for the very first time. Jesus shows himself to be truly the Messiah, to be truly the one who he is said to be. Jesus lives up to the promises that have been made about him by his Father, all the promises. Also, Jesus wasn't doing magic tricks. He performed miracles to show the power he was given from God in order to serve others. Jesus shows himself to be the living and true God. He does not create illusions or use misdirection or manipulation like a magician does. No, he doesn't need to, because what he has to offer is living and true, just as he is himself. After all, Jesus rose from death to life, and in this, God's resurrection power was revealed, and that was the greatest transformation of all. So, yes, on the one hand, Jesus declared openly in an assembly by a miracle that he has power over the nature of things to feed people's bodies. But I believe it was more than that. I believe he also showed that his spiritual and saving power and strength, with that he can feed our spiritual needs. And while Jesus turned something into something that it was not, his transformation did not stop there. Jesus also turned something good into something better. So water in itself is good. I guess we would all agree about that. It is a life-giving force. There's nothing that needs fixing in water. Jesus did not deny that by transforming water into wine, that water was not good. No, but by doing so, Jesus made something good into something better. After all, the text tells us Jesus did not only turn water into wine, but into the finest and the choicest wine. Transformation happened. One definition of transformation that I found is a qualitative change, and another, a marked change in appearance or character, especially one for the better. I believe that all of us here today, we all long to experience the transforming grace of God in our lives. And that is why we are here. None of us has a perfect life in this world. And no matter how hard we try, we all encounter circumstances that are not as we wish them to be. Some of us may have some problems at work. Some may feel guilty over something they have done. Others may feel hurt by what someone else has done to them. I could go on, but suffice it to say that we all encounter circumstances in our lives that we wish to be different. And I believe that this is where Jesus' transformation in this story speaks hope into our lives as well. Tom Lane asks, if Jesus could transform common water into wedding wine, spit and dirt into new sight, troubled sea into pathway, well water into living water, could Christ transform the waters of my life, shallow, murky, polluted, stagnant, sour, into a shower of blessing? Let me repeat this question. If Jesus could transform common water into wedding wine, spit and dirt into new sight, troubled sea into pathway, well water into living water, could Christ transform the waters of my life, shallow, murky, polluted, stagnant, sour, into a shower of blessing? I believe Jesus can, and I believe he wants to. This does not necessarily mean that we end up experiencing endless prosperity or a state of unending happiness or healing that will last forever. No, that is not what I think Tom Lane is trying to say. But through Christ, we can find a richness and depth in even our worst circumstances that we'd never thought possible before. And in this way, Jesus touches upon a much deeper need of humanity when he turns water into wine. We do not only need to be given life instead of death, something into something that it was not, but we also need hope in the place of hopelessness, and peace instead of anxiety. We need forgiveness for our sins and healing for our brokenness, for our shame and for our guilt. And it is all these things that Jesus wants to bring to our lives. And in this, he wants to transform our lives into something better. So I had a friend once who summed this up very well, and I still remember it. It's been like maybe 10 years ago. And she once said, "I believe that Jesus did not only come to save us, but also to make us whole again." And I believe she's right. On the one hand, yes, Jesus wants to save us and came to save us, to bring life out of death, to turn something into something it was not. But I believe the second part of her statement is true as well, that he wants to turn something good into something better. Because he loves us so much, he does not want us to stay the same, but he wants us to be transformed and changed. He wants to take away our shame, our guilt, our unforgiveness, our anxiety, our hopelessness, our despair. And he wants to give us good gifts in these places, hope and peace, forgiveness and healing. So when people encounter Jesus, I truly believe they simply cannot stay the way they are. Last but not least, and in conclusion, I would like to ask the question, why does Jesus want to bring transformation into our lives? We have definitely done nothing to deserve this. And I believe it is because of his love for us. His love for us, that he loves us so much that he longs to be gracious to us. His love for us. He loves us so much that he longs to be gracious to us. Recently, I heard a story that illustrates this point so well, whether it is a true story or not. And this is what I would like to end with. So there was a teacher in school, and he tells the students that for the upcoming test, they are responsible for everything in the textbook. And it was a pretty big textbook. And he said they would be responsible for everything, whether he taught it or not. And that was a lot. So the students started cramming for the test. They pulled all-nighters. And then the next morning, they came to the test. The teacher handed out the test, but upside down. And once everyone had a test, he told his students to turn it over. So the students turned over the sheet, and they saw that all the answers had been filled in, and that there was an A at the bottom of the test for each and every single one of them. Then the teacher went around the class and asked, "What did you get?" "An A." "What did you do for it?" "Nothing. You've just experienced grace." So when Jesus touches our lives, we simply cannot stay the way we are. And that is a story worth telling for the rest of our lives while we await the ultimate wedding, the wedding of the Lamb. Amen.